Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. It is a freedom-loving, faith-filled, fantastic Friday. We're taking America back, one heart, one mind, one issue at a time. If we say we're taking back America, they tell you we're violent. Tell them they're psychotic, would you please? We believe in restoration, not revolution. We can restore the republic because of the hard work that our founding fathers put in. They gave their fortunes, their sacred honor, and more to the cause, even their very lives. And as a result, we don't need to go violent. We can use the peaceful checks and balances put in place by the founders on a vertical and a horizontal reality check. And folks, that's what we want to do. Now, the question is, will they let us remain peaceful? That's really the ultimate question. The good doctor's in the house with me, Dr. Scott Bradley. His goal in Collegiate Series is called To Preserve the Nation. His website, newly revamped with videos galore, an opportunity to become a member and more, freedomsrisingsun.com. Check that out. It is incredible. Doctor, welcome back, my friend.
Well, thank you very much, and thanks for the plug. We need all the friends we can get in this restoration effort that we're putting. When you've got a Republican Congress and a Republican president, it seems like the tendency, almost a surism, is that the world will go back to sleep. But when they're not that way, sometimes we find people pay a little more attention. And I am hoping now people are paying more attention. My gracious.
Last hour, myself and Lowell Nelson broke down. Senator Lee forces the Democrats to correct the record. Democrats make a big blunder over impeachment. They literally took a woman's tweeted statement. They changed the word Calvary to cavalry, and they manipulated the words on purpose. She caught them at it. You know, a Calvary relates to the place where Jesus was crucified. She wanted a prayer vigil, and they turned it to cavalry as if she was going to ride in with violence. And, well, they did it without even talking to her about it. They manipulated her statements and lied. And we know they did it on purpose because they even took the time to take her average Twitter account, which was not certified. It didn't have the blue check mark on it. But in the testimony where they put it up on video, it had a check mark. So somebody elevated her account without her even knowing. Anyway, all I can tell you is this is a manipulation. Jonathan Turley, they said he's all for these, after the fact or whatever you want to call it, retroactive impeachments. He says, wait a minute. I might have talked about that 20 years plus ago. That's not recent at all, and to say so is a lie. So the Democrats are getting their heads handed to them when it comes to fake news.
Did you hear, by the way, the Andrea Mitchell faux pas that she pulled against Ted Cruz?
Oh, let's hear it.
Well, it's kind of an interesting kind of scenario. You talk about, this twisting, this perverting, this not even being able to spell correctly, for crying out loud. And you'd think Andrea Mitchell would know better, but she was so quick to leap upon. She took a Ted Cruz statement that he attributed to Shakespeare. It's out of Macbeth. It's one of the most famous lines in Macbeth. And Faulkner used it in a book that he wrote, and so she handed him his head, she thought, by saying, "You dummy." She's really strongly, more eloquently said it than I just said. But at any rate,
wait a minute, you said it more eloquently than she said, sir.
Well, maybe so. But at any rate, she, and then the people in her camp piled on, calling Cruz a soulless individual. You know, you don't have a soul if you don't know that this was said, Faulkner, and all so on and so forth. One said, and it says volumes that his lack of soul, about his lack of soul. So anyway, it was a statement he quoted out of Shakespeare again, which Faulkner used, but it was just astonishing that they're so, it's a fire ready aim kind of thing, you know, and this thing, everything that's happening right now, the fire ready aim situation with the impeachment, the second impeachment that took about a nanosecond to run through the House, but they've been pushing on it from day one, moment one.
Well, they were even talking about this when he walked down the escalator, right?
No question about that. And so this has been the intent from the beginning, and they're rabid. It's a frenzy, and there's no rhyme or reason to it.
All right, we even go to lies. Turns out that Cuomo aide admits they hid nursing home death data so the federal government wouldn't find out. They were scared, so they lied and got caught now. Also, a new study comes out and finds CDC inflated the COVID numbers by 1,600%, concludes that health authorities violated federal law. All right?
The whole thing is a charade, a facade. It is a total scam. And you know, if you look at if 6% of the deaths can really be attributed to COVID, the fact of the matter is I'm not so sure that that's even accurate. Because of all the other, I mean, if you add age and all those other things in there, if somebody's 96 years old and they die of COVID, well, they had one foot in the grave, and I'm not diminishing their death. But honestly, we have fed this frenzy to the point. We have destroyed our economy. We have a huge number of suicides, domestic abuse. We have substance abuse. We have economic downfall of not only businesses, but individuals. We have homelessness. I mean, you can make the list go on and on and on.
And I used to say they're doubling down, Doctor, but now they're tripling down. They're saying two masks aren't enough. Three is the charm, my friend.
Well, and that's really amazing because Fauci and the CDC and the WHO and everybody initially came out, no, masks. No, you don't need no masks. What's that line from?
And then
Treasures of the Sierra Madre.
and then they got caught, and then now they say masks are valuable, and then they say, well, we just said you didn't need them because we didn't want everybody to take away from the frontline health workers, and now we have to tell you the truth because we have enough masks, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, they're just caught lying at every turn, and now we caught them in more lies, Doctor.
Indeed, and the problem is the entire situation is based upon lies.
So check out this interesting story. Check this out, okay? This is from USA Today, one of the biggest media rags in the country. And for weeks, the mainstream press said it was Trump supporters, evil, they're violent by the thousands that were just crazy, and they followed their insurrectionist leader, da-da-da. Now they're having the impeachment trial. This has been going on really since November when Donald Trump said, hey, the election's a fraud. Then the election fraud went to the riot capital fiasco, and now no one's talking about the election fraud hardly. But here's the point. The mainstream press knows the truth. And listen to this headline, and then listen to the details of the story, and then I want to talk about it. I usually, highlight the mainstream press articles, not because I agree with them, but because I want to point out their inconsistencies and their dishonesties. All right? Headline says, quote, what we've learned and why we'll still dig. What we've learned and why we'll still dig. USA Today. Now listen carefully to this big thing. 24 Texans have been arrested for their roles in the Capitol riot, the most of any state. Nationwide, the list of arrested people includes 180 men, 26 women, from 18 to 70 years old. We're investigating the rioters. That's fine. I think they should. Residents of 40 states and the District of Columbia have been arrested. Texas leads the way, followed by New York, 17, Pennsylvania, 17, Florida, 16. Per capita, the states with the people that are the most arrested are Kentucky, Pennsylvania, and Virginia. We've been tracking the Capitol mob since the January 6th riots, and we're building a database that you can search by name or state. We're including those arrested on charges federal prosecutors have filed since the riot. And those arrested by Capitol Police and Washington, D.C. Police, Metro Police, for entering the Capitol, destroying property, and or committing acts of violence. We're not tracking lower-level infractions such as curfew violations, etc. Rioters fought their way through fencing. Police lines. They beat police officers with flagpoles or their own shields or other instruments. They swarmed hallways hunting lawmakers. Some of the lawmakers came within moments of even being caught. In all, 125 Capitol Police, officers were physically assaulted, and more than 70 were injured. 5 people died. Our mission was to identify the rioters and make sure they were held responsible. I like that idea. Senate investigator Doug Caruso said, would they be found, charged, held accountable for their actions? And so we started to compile as many people as we could. On January 7th, the day after the riot, we published our first compilation of those involved. A smiling man walking out with House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's podium. A man armed with zip ties, often used for handcuffs. The smug rider with his feet on Pelosi's desk. Soon after the arrests started, with newsrooms across the country. Local journalists were there, and our journalists were there to report it all in real time. From Phoenix, Arizona to Lebanon, Maine. While they may be arraigned in a courthouse in Louisville, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, etc., they'll be tried in Washington, D.C., Caruso said. As the cases begin, these two journalist reporters are saying rioters are increasingly defending themselves by saying they were following the commander-in-chief. But beyond who the rioters are, we want to know who or what connects them. So we started doing backgrounds in each of them. Looked into their social media accounts, their court records, financial documents, etc. We also wanted to find out about any criminal history for these rioters. I've been surprised, they say, at the results. I'll brief you on those in a minute. This is Liberty Roundtable Live, and will this information make it to the impeachment trial? Huh?
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
All right, what we've learned and why we'll still dig, says USA Today. I find this article from USA Today completely dishonest. So they talk about this big old long thing they're going through about how they discovered who was who. They've been reporting on it. They're creating this massive, massive database, ladies and gentlemen. And they say that I've been surprised at the wide diversity of characters. Literally from so many walks of life, they say. Okay, true enough. I agree. We've been saying that from the very start. Even in Charlottesville, Donald Trump said there's bad guys on both sides. Amen to that reality check that he got slaughtered for. But now they're admitting it in USA Today. Now listen carefully. Said investigative reporter Dinah Foyles Pulver. We found a mix of Trump supporters. Fine, I'm sure that's true. Most were not violent. A few were. QAnon followers. Well, I'm sure some of them were violent. A lot of QAnon believers and followers were not violent. Evangelical Christians, I'm sure that's true. white nationalists. I'm sure there was some white nationalists there, although I don't know what one of those really are. And then they say this because they don't want to name Antifa, Black Lives Matter, and some of the other groups. So here's what they say. And members of far right and anti-government groups. That's the line to bury the other side, the liberals, the communists, the socialists, the whoever in the, you know, just bury it by wordsmithing it. They say it was a toxic brew of conspiracy theorists. Those conspiracy theorists who thought that Donald Trump would never leave peacefully. Those conspiracy theorists who, okay, Aiton Rollman, an attorney who helped prosecute the Oklahoma City bombing Timothy McVeigh situation, told them that more than a half dozen members of the Proud Boys, an extremist group with ties to white nationalists, were caught. Their leaders were there. Five more people were arrested on conspiracy charges that were with the white boys or the Proud Boys. Now, here's the interesting part. Everybody has condemned the Proud Boys. Even Donald Trump said, stand back, get away. We don't believe in what you say or do. But you know what? That's where you get it. Now, at least a dozen police officers or first responders were arrested or are facing disciplinary action for their roles on January the 6th. All right. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin has also been ordered to look into the military ranks and look into the policies about extremism, saying, hey, there were military people there. And they say this, while more than 200 people have been charged, more than 500 suspects have been identified by federal authorities. It really seems to be almost like two different groups, said Emily LaCaz, an investigative reporter. There's the hardcore groups like the Proud Boys, the military and others, the police officers who are highly organized. They went into this knowing into this. That's what they were going to do. They don't tell you how many are in that those ranks, by the way. And then you've got the other group, which are good, honest people, teachers, firefighters. You know, people have sort of got sucked up in this lie, went to Washington because they wanted to be at the rally, and they got sucked into the Capitol situation. But then they say one big connection. The majority of those arrested so far posted their involvement on social media. They basically incriminated themselves by taking selfies. Law enforcement officers are now scouring Twitter, and other accounts as far back as November to gather more evidence. FBI officials said that they're reviewing more than 200,000 pieces of digital data. One of the basics of journalism, ladies and gentlemen, hold wrongdoers accountable. They say we will. But we're going beyond that and using the data to try to identify what motivated this mob. What got these people to come together in this moment in this way? Because if it can happen on January 6th, it can happen anytime, anywhere. Democracy is fragile inherently, they say. This raises a whole host of questions. So yes, we'll hold those responsible. Now, in my opinion, a big article that literally covers up the left-wing involvement but blatantly admits it as well. They said they're surprised at what kind of all walks of life were there. And then they name all the different groups that are kind of Trumpish, if you will. But then they say, and other anti-government groups, et cetera, et cetera. And they don't really focus on that. But we know over the summer and for literally months, the Black Lives Matter, Antifa, and all these other groups have been rioting all across the country, destroying private property, creating violence everywhere and everything else. And they give them a pass in this article. But at the same time, they admit that it wasn't just Trump supporters at all. And that's what I want to draw attention to. They know the truth, Dr. Bradley.
Well, the anti-government things are assuming that you're going to assume that that's right-wingers that are trying to overthrow the government. But there's an interesting article in the New American Magazine, C. Mitch Schaubert. It's titled, Who Were the Vandals? And then it's a brief article, shorter than the one that you're quoting from. But it's very interesting to me that... there's evidence he points out of Antifa and other leftist instigation. They bring it out and point that out in there. The poster child that he points out is this guy that wears he's a shamanic kind of practitioner that has his face paint and his fur headdress from the horns and everything like that. That guy has been a regular at all sorts of events, including left-wing events and the Greenpeace kind of things, and but he doesn't specifically mention Greenpeace, he's climate change kind of protest. You know? There's ones that the guy with the cape and a ballistic vest. He's not only a registered Democrat, he's the son of a New York judge. I mean, there's a guy that he mentions, John Earl Sullivan, a frequent flyer at BLM and Antifa events. He posed as a Trump supporter and a journalist in the D.C. march. He kind of had a veneer of a passive observer, but it's he agitated the crowd. I mean, so this kind of stuff, I think the euphemistic terms that the article you've quoted is very disingenuous in that it's attempting to focus it on the anti-government side and the people that are, you know, redneck, right-wing, whatever they want. But the fact is this is a broad brush of people that were there to cause trouble. In general, the people were not. And certainly, Trump did not incite a riot and insurrection and all that kind of stuff. You know, when I was a kid, my dad, I started shooting when I was 4 years old, and I have been shooting my entire life. But my dad was almost deaf on letting me have a handgun. I think I got my first one when I was 14 years old. But the problem is, he said, you know, you have a tendency to be able to point it and accidentally discharge it without having good, you know, sight pictures. So anyway, I've done the fire ready aim thing on a quick draw on the back of their leg or something like that because they pulled the trigger when there was no ready and aim. Okay, well, that's what the media is doing now with everything. Fire ready aim. It's a poorly aimed everything, but trying to put a spin on it using euphemistic terms and incorrect terms. I mean, they either misspell, they mispronounce, to the point that they leave an impression with people that they know are not going to check their bets. They are not going to vet their words. I've got a term I use all the time. I've said it on the air with you before: distrust until verified. And that's what America has got to start doing with everything in this lame brain media that we're traveling with nowadays.
Now, if you folks want to research the truth on this, Dr. Bradley, what I recommend is reading the two articles that you and I are talking about here. All right? The first article is in USA Today, Mainstream Rag. What we've learned and why we'll still dig USA Today. And they literally tell you they're taking names and, you know, prosecuting and want accountability. But then they literally cover up who really caused the riot. The next one. Who were the vandals? C. Mitchell Shaw, thenewamerican.com. And you dig into that article, and he provides names and places and people and everybody else about who the vandals were, explaining that, you know what? Antifa was behind the violence. All right? It's impossible to ignore this. Those who ignore it are either intellectually dishonest or they're basically buried under a rock, is the point. This is where things went sideways. And then they talked about evidence of Antifa and other leftist instigations are legion in the history, but the left is easily documented and they're part of the violence in the Capitol riots. For instance, one poster child for the insurrection is Jake Angeli. And then they go on and explain Jake's involvement. He has direct ties to leftist groups and events. All right, he marched with climate strikes around the world. So you got a bunch of environmentalists tied to Greta Thunberg. You've got all kinds of people. They talk about another guy, Aaron Mostalski. I think that's how you say the name. He wore fur at the march, although it was in the form of a cape-like wrap. He wore a ballistic vest. He's not only a registered Democrat, but a son of a New York judge. Okay, this is the kind of people we're talking about. That other article doesn't mention any of these kind of reality checks. None. I highlight these two articles to really give you better pay attention to the news from the right perspective, folks, or you get flat out lied to. Dr. Bradley with me. Hang tight.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pride.
President Biden has ended the emergency order used by President Trump to justify construction of the wall on the U.S. border with Mexico. Quote, I have determined that the declaration of a national emergency at the southwest border was unwarranted, end quote. That's what Biden said in a letter sent Thursday to the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, and Vice President Kamala Harris in her role as President of the Senate. At least five people were killed Thursday in a massive crash involving up to 100 vehicles on Interstate 35 near downtown Fort Worth, Texas. The number of injured was still unknown as police were still addressing the mass casualty event. The Biden administration guidelines for reopening schools is expected to include recommendations for phased reopening based on rates of community transmission. The phased approach for reopening is broken down into four color-coded zones. The report does not stipulate the rates of community spread that determine who qualifies for each zone. USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
I had begun to notice after 10 days with Balance of Nature, I felt better, more energetic, and believe me, for me, that's something because I have energy anyway, but as old as I am, that was really something to start really noticing. You know, we're all responsible for choosing what our attitudes are, but I had a better mental outlook. I mean, I always try to be positive, but there were subtle things in me that I began to notice. I just felt a difference with this.
Get a wide variety of all your daily recommended servings of whole fruits and vegetables without having to leave your home. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code USA.
A single COVID-19 death will give researchers invaluable information. USA Radio News' Tim Berg reports.
For 154 days last year, a man was in and out of Boston hospitals fighting a losing battle with COVID-19. He did not survive, but researchers say his rare case could help them better understand how the virus mutates. The man whose identity was not released was first diagnosed in the spring of 2020. Dr. Jonathan Lee is an infectious disease specialist at Harvard Medical School.
This particular case is, in retrospect, a harbinger of what was to come. And I think that it just goes to show that we need to do a better job of monitoring the spread of these variants, and that only by looking for these variants will we be able to detect it. And that it's something that I think we haven't done as well up to now.
That audio, courtesy of CBS News, from the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
We are USA Radio News.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
Dr. Bradley, it's vitally important that we focus on news from sources that matter, sir. This is something that I really think is becoming more and more critical as time goes on. The narrative between the two could not be of greater contrast, sir. Hold on just a second. I didn't press the right button, and you're not up. I apologize. I don't know why. Now go, sir.
Okay.
Sorry.
The big
about
problem,
that.
One of the big problems, I can't isolate one single problem. We have a plethora of issues, a target-rich environment, I guess you might call it, that are causing issues. But one of those issues is the fact that there are more and more limited sources of alternative voices. And it's an absolute pandemic, if you will, to use the term that's popular today, to censor those that have an alternative position. I mean, you can have credentialed, intelligent, articulate, highly qualified individuals that are speaking about some issue, and they're being completely cut off. If you say anything that's different, it's not just a narrative, it's a script. If it's different than the script they're pushing, whether it's on the impeachment or it's on the vicious nature of this virus that's going through or democracy or whatever, you're going to find that very likely you're not going to get to your audience. An audience that has opted in, if you will, with you, that has said, I want this person's input. I would like to hear it. And again, we've talked about this show many times before. the fact that the First Amendment, and unless we don't need to go through all of them, but all of the rights, the God-given rights that are mentioned in it, but press and the speech issues have nothing to do with lewd speech or some kind of vulgar or anything else like that. It had everything to do with political speech, and that was what they were attempting to keep allowed without any blowback. But what's happening is that the political speech is being silenced to the point that there is only one speech. You have lame brain news readers that are basically reading a script they've been handed by Big Pharma or by some big promoter. And honestly, if you get to the bottom of it, you look at who's sponsoring so many of the big news programs, and you follow the money, and you come to find out, wait. You look at where the money's going into Congress. For example, pharma pays twice as much into the Congress, you know, into our political process than big oil. And it's like was pointed out the other day to me, you know, we go to war in the Middle East over oil. But these guys, the big pharma guys, are doubling their lobbying fees of what big oil is spending in Congress. And they're doing it quietly behind the scenes. And the people in Congress, the people in government positions, are in a position to not just, you know, skew the narrative. They are promoting the script. And so this freedom of speech thing, freedom of the press, it's getting to be an endangered species. That's what I'm a little worried about. And, you know, they talk about, oh, we can't let the dodo bird go by the wayside. Well, we're letting the truth go by the wayside, and we all need to pay a lot more attention to that and make an effort on this thing. I think people have become addicted to their social media accounts, and then when somebody that's, you know, got a different narrative than what the mainstream is gets cut off, they continue to use their social media account. I wish we'd all cut our tie with those things, because they're so blatantly and unequivocally biased towards a certain outcome, and that outcome will destroy the United States of America.
So a lot of talk show hosts,
big thing to say.
A lot of talk show hosts will speak out, Dr. Bradley, and say, hey, our country's going to heck in a handbasket and da-da-da-da-da. But very few will expose the big lie and then point to the real problems and the real solutions. So Ron Paul sent me an email that said, reset to what? There's so much talk lately about the Great Reset.
Well, they talk about a global currency reset. They talk about a reset in political issues and so on. My position, I kind of, as much as I've loved Ron Paul over the years, you know, his revolution thing that he did a few years ago back, and he turned it into love and all that kind of stuff. And I have always, and I told his people when I was close to the campaign, it's not a revolution, it's a restoration. And that's the thing. I'm doing a presentation tomorrow night in Idaho. And I'm going to start off with a theme about, we know our back trail. We do not have to recreate the wheel or the path or anything like that. It's well known. It's well understood. It's easily understood. If someone as simple-minded as I can grasp this and be thrilled about it, every American can do it. I'm confident. And we need to do a restoration of the original foundation of this nation. It will restore everything that made this nation the greatest, freest, strongest, most happy, most prosperous, most respected nation on earth, and everything that has happened. This morning my wife was talking to me, and she said, there's an ill wind. It is. There's an ill wind that's blowing in the land now. And there's the, you know, an ill wind, we can use it to good effect. We will turn our hearts back to the foundation. You know, of course, there's a godly foundation, there's a moral foundation, there's a virtuous foundation. Those are primary and principal to begin with. This idea of justice and the separation and controlling of abuse of power and all those kind of things, that's foundational, that's fundamental to what the founding fathers did in this nation. And so we don't have to have a revolution. But they're attempting to make a revolution. It's a communist, Marxist revolution. It's based upon the principles that Marx canonized, if you will, in his manifesto. And truly, it's based upon conflict about factions fighting against factions and ultimately undermining and so much turmoil and disruption that some organization that's already got a pre-planned output comes to this and says, hey, let me save you. Let me save you. We've got a plan. And it's tyranny in every case. And if we were wise, we would return to the original foundation and we'd stop this. I mean, I look at, for example, Mitt Romney, and this may sound divergent from what we're talking about, but he's just put out this big deal about redistributing wealth for child care. You know, Mitt Romney was in Massachusetts. He was the governor there. He's not the conservative senator from Utah that some have tried to paint him to be. You don't win in Massachusetts and be their governor and have a conservative bone in your body. I mean, he's the guy that started the Obamacare movement. I started in Massachusetts. He was the governor that declared same-sex marriage by an executive order. First one in the nation. And so now he's returning to this thing about redistributing our wealth through child care. And it's a blatant violation of everything Americanist. The general wealth does not, talking in the preamble of the Constitution in Article 1, Section 8, when you say general welfare, that has nothing to do with redistribution of wealth. It has everything to do with stability and predictability and good government, where we don't have unpredictable things like economic collapse and disruption because of lack of justice and foreign affairs that unravel us. No, we've got a good, solid government that is watching out for those things like it should be, and we're not redistributing wealth. But everything that's happening is going the wrong direction. And when you have people like a Mitt Romney that's touting this as the way, or the $15 an hour minimum wage that they're trying to push through with this reconciliation bill on the COVID relief package. Holy Hannah! I mean, you're interfering. In fact, back in the 1920s when they tried to establish it was almost 100 years ago, in fact, a federal minimum wage, it was deflected by the people because they said it violated the Constitution and it interfered with the right of contract, you know, Article 1, Section 10, where states and the government can't interfere with the right of contract. You can't do it. But now we're just, every single thing that's brought forth is falsely based on a principle that will take us away from the original foundation. Pick a subject, any subject, and foundation. And even churches, I think, are faulty. When churches get promoting the idea of let's worship the false gods we've now picked, whether they're scientists or physicians or politicians or big pharma or whatever, when they're worshiping false gods, at the exclusion of turning people to faith in the God, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, what do we do? Every single person seems to have lost their sanity, and except for me and thee, I guess, I don't know. But it's hard. It's hard, but we've got to awaken the people and say, we know the path. We can go back. We don't have to follow this new destructive Marxist approach to things.
Ladies and gentlemen, courage is contagious. Let's talk about that in seconds. Liberty Roundtable Live.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
My brother and two other boys were the ones that got in the car with her, and she was drunk. The road that goes to her house is like really windy, and she was taking that road at 80 to 100 miles per hour. And hit into the road there, her door flung open. She ran out across the street to get away from it. And the other three boys were trapped in it, and the car exploded. And then when my mom found out about it, she called me at work. I don't care what you have to do, just get up here to the hospital. You know, I parked my car and I went inside. And they took us back to this little room. My mom told me that Jay had been killed. And I lost it. The other people, so they're like, well, you can drink, but just be careful when you drink, you know? So I don't want anything to do with it because it took my brother away from me.
A public service message from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Scott Bradley with me. FreedomsRisingSun.com is website. We're talking about the lies going on in the earth, ladies and gentlemen. There's an ill wind in the land. I believe Satan's raging in the hearts of men. Solution, ladies and gentlemen, let's turn our hearts to God, family, and country. Now, I say courage is contagious. Believe it or not, sadly, that was a book written by John Kasich, Courage is Contagious. So we don't want to get mixed up in that kind of courage that he has. Nevertheless, we start to see this. There's very few really willing to stand up for the Republic, Dr. Bradley. There's very few people who even have the understanding to do so is my biggest concern.
Well, you know, it really comes down to we the people. And honestly, and I know it comes up so often when you're talking to me, but our education system has been designed by design. It's a national religion, de facto. It's a faith-based system based upon the humanist religion. And it violates the First Amendment because we have a state-sponsored, state-paid-for, taxpayer-paid-for religion. And it is socialist in its nature. I mean, everything from, you know, the social democracy it's promoting to the promiscuity and the sexual issues and, you know, the gender bender kind of things, the Darwinistic perspective, the lack of a creator, everything that's taught in our education system. And we have deflected the entire Americanist philosophy that made this this land what we started out as when it was a faith-based kind of thing, and it wasn't a government program. I mean, that came in a lot later, where individuals and families paid for their education, supported it, they got what they paid for, instead of an agendized kind of outcome. But that's why we, the people, in general, do not have a clue of the difference between a democracy and a republic, for example. They don't know why the Electoral College is one of the miracles of the Constitution. It isn't the only one. I mean, there's multiple ones, obviously. And why it was probably the only issue in the Constitution that didn't have counterpoints that between the Federalist and the Anti-Federalist. Why there's such a movement today to get rid of our Electoral College. Every single step of the way, we have dumbed our people down, and I know you get so sick and tired of hearing that all the time, but it's an absolute fact. It's a truism that we can't get away from. It's time for people to get their kids out of the indoctrination centers and think what they're learning now. Fear, doubt, compliance. They're zombies. They're masked bandits that are walking with their arms out like, you know, some kind of zombie in a daze of some sort because they can't get within each other, a range of each other. Every single thing that we're doing, and we say, oh, we got to get the kids back in school. No, we don't. Get them out of school. Bring them into your home. Teach them as the good shepherd. I mean, God gave every single adult that has a family, he gave them a charge. Raise these children up unto me. I mean, and that is where we have, one of the reasons and one of the ways that we have abrogated our divine responsibility. We turn them over to hirelings every day. You know, I'll tell you, and without going into the whole program of how I came to these numbers, I teaching Sunday school, I asked the kid.
Uh-oh, you're breaking up a little bit, Doctor. Hopefully we can have you stand on a stump.
Okay, am I here? Am I
yep,
back?
You're back, what? Sir. Go ahead.
Okay. Anyway, I talked to the kids. How many hours a week do you put into your public education? And I got anything from 40 hours a week to 70, and I think some of the they're a little bit skewed either way. But so I says, okay, let's take 45 hours. In the time that we were, in a week, in the time that I had been assigned to teach these young people in Sunday school, I had 17 hours in a year to teach them. And they get average, let's say, 45 hours a week. So one-third of what they get in a week, I get in a year to help them know the eternal principles, the doctrines of salvation that will lift and elevate and bless their lives and their souls and help not only make them better people, but their future families and the country. We have skewed this into a position where we are teaching false doctrines. And if you haven't read the Humanist Manifestos, they're little tiny, tiny documents. You can read Humanist Manifesto 1, 2, and 3 in probably less than an hour, okay? And just read them and tell me you don't see that, how they're getting these gender bender problems, how we've come to these ideas of social democracies, redistribution of wealth, health care for all, throwing out our nation. They abhor national perspectives, on a global government on everything. This entire program that we've immersed our children in has turned us from God. I mean, the Darwinistic perspective of, oh, we're just highly evolved animals, and it's like, okay, so if we start acting like animals, I guess that's to be expected. No. They teach euphemistic things like solutions to pregnancies. Well, what is that? That's killing the baby before it's born. The idea of proclivities sexually that you can explore with. And it's too prudish to not do that. Holy Hannah, what are we thinking, people? And we fund them. It's probably the largest industry in the world is the American education system.
Amen to that. And it's going to get worse, ladies and gentlemen. As they try to bring kids back to school, they kind of miscalculated a little bit when they put everybody home, because the homeschool movement is really, really growing right now as people realize they can teach their own children. And how, what kind of a disaster the government schools are. Parents are realizing, wait a minute, my kid's doing what? And it goes on and on and on and on, from Black History Month, dishonesty, all the way through to sex ed perversion, through communist and socialist agendas and more. But I believe that the fraud of climate change will be their big push under Joe Biden. Write this down. Remember who told you first. The fraud of climate change will be the big push under Joe Biden. It'll be the drive for control. The American Policy Center, Tom DeWeese and others, AmericanPolicy.org has the details. Man-made climate change is being used as the catalyst for tall tales of melting ice caps, drowning polar bears, and flooded islands. It's even being blamed for a rise in wars and poverty in the name of, quote, climate change. There's a drive to destroy free markets and the very concept of limited governments, private property, and individual liberty. We're told that we must all sacrifice and give up our selfish lifestyles as we are required to live on less. Why? To save the planet. And above all, we are warned not to question of any of this. Look, folks, the science is settled. The debate's over. Stop talking about it. We must act now. That's really going to be their big push under Biden, in my opinion. After a lot of these issues settle down with the COVID and the impeachment and all this kind of stuff, vote fraud, as true as it is, will be left in the rearview mirror, and climate change will be their big push.
Here's what's really interesting. One of the great truisms of mortality is climate change. It changes. It changes. We've been sitting here. I've been watching the climate change outside my window.
It's getting warmer as the morning progresses, huh?
Can you imagine? But here's the deal. Well, I'm old enough to remember when the next ice age was coming, and we're all going to die. Oh, ain't it awful? I mean, oh my goodness, we're going to be, in New York, all this kind of stuff. And we evolved away from that. We went into, but then they had Rachel Carson's thing with the, the Silent Spring and all that kind of stuff. But then you get into the climate warming, and they found out that really wasn't happening. It seemed to be a trend for a while, but then it really didn't happen, and it's actually been cooling in recent years, if you take a holistic perspective across the whole world. And so they turned it to climate change. And so, if it changed from rain to snow, it changed. If you had it, you look at the clouds going by, something's changing. The fact of the matter is the morons that we are now, because we have decided we want to believe anything the lame brain media and the false gods we worship are telling us, that they can manipulate it anyway. And if you can say climate, well, what doesn't that affect? What is not affected? I mean, that's like the air you breathe. It's the water you drink. It's every single, it's how you heat your home, how you cool your home, how you travel. It's everything. It will be a complete embracing of power over every aspect of our lives. And remember back in the Obama years, the early ones, remember when they ramrodded through the climate issues and the carbon credits and all that kind of stuff? I mean, it went through cyclonic power because of this. I agree with you. This is going to be a big push. But there's every aspect. Again, it's an ill wind in every aspect of our lives. And climate incorporates them all. And so, yeah, I think there's a very good chance we're going to see this as a central theme of everything that somehow they can tie it back to climate change. It sounds so scary. I don't know if I can. I got to go back to bed and pull the covers over my head. Holy cow.
Ladies and gentlemen, I think that Dr. Bradley's wife is right. There is an ill wind on the land. And the only way we can combat the ill wind on the land, in my opinion, the solution, folks, is to turn to God, family, and country, and to realize that we must take courage. We must do something about it. Solution, let's turn our hearts to God, family, and country. All right? We need to get this done. This is not something that we could be faint-hearted about, folks. All right? The debate is over. There are people in the land who want to destroy this country. And you may have not agreed with us before because you think, it's so gentle out there. Let's watch the Super Bowl. But now that they've literally unleashed COVID, here's my opinion, Dr. Bradley. Take this for what, in respond to this. I'm convinced what they are doing is they are doing so well at promoting socialism that they didn't need any disruptions. Just let it peacefully roll along. It's like a train rolling through the green hills, just slowly rolling along, and it's so peaceful. They didn't care. They were headed in the right direction. And Americans started to wake up, Trump and many others. And we started to take back our America via the internet, via peaceful means, via the ballot box, et cetera, et cetera. And then they realized that they're going to have to do something drastic. And the peaceful means and the polite, gentle, lulling us to carnal security sleep didn't work. So then they bursted the COVID on us. And I believe they'll go to any lengths for their tyranny. And on one hand, the more we stand up, the more they're going to push for this. And I'm convinced that we'll never be able to return, because they know now that they cannot get their tyranny by their gentle means. It'll only take them so far. And now they realize they've got to create sickness and war and destruction and financial upheaval. And they've got to make Americans cower, reject faith for fear in order to win. And the gloves are off now, sir. Your quick final thoughts.
Well, someday we're going to have to talk about Antonio Gramsci and his effort to slice at a time communism. And I think we're at a point where his slice at a time has come along. And as has been said, they're going to have to run naked to the finish line, because they are going to have to, as you say, take the gloves off. They are absolutely going to be in a full court press. And we can't go back to sleep. You can't say, oh, well, we'll fix it next time around. Americans have got to be engaged. They've got to be committed. And turning to God is the very first thing we've got to do, or else we're all lost. We're sad puppies.
The founding father said this nation is only for immoral people, ladies and gentlemen. You have a republic if you can keep it. You got to get engaged. You got to remain peaceful. And you got to promote God, family, and country. God save the Republic of the United States of America.